first slide there for me, please. Or the very first one with a title. There we go. Okay, this morning I want to talk about those who hunger for God. Those who hunger for God. Before we start, I'm just going to pray for us. Lord Father, I thank you for this morning. Thank you for this day. Thank you, Lord, that the sun is shining, Lord, and Father, that it's just again, just shows us, Lord, that you're in control, Father. Father, you are the one who removes the storm, Father, and you are even the one who's with us during the storm. But this morning, Father, with the sun shining, a nice and warm day outside, Father, we just again reminded of your goodness. And Father, I thank you for this time that we can have together here as a family this morning. Father, we are here together as one family and with you, our Father. And thank you that we can dwell with you here today. And Father, I pray that you will open our hearts and our ears and our eyes to see and hear what you have to say to us today, Lord, because the truth sets the captives free. I pray, Father, Lord, that there will be open hearts here this morning, Lord, to receive your truth, Lord, so that we may be set free, Lord, wherever we are taken captive by lies and by deceptions, by the enemy, Lord, let there be freedom here this morning, Father. And Lord, I bind every unclean spirit in this place in the name of Jesus, and we cast out every unclean thing in Jesus' name. I pray, Father, that every stronghold be pulled down in this venue here today in our hearts, and that every argument and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, we cast it down in the name of Jesus. And we take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ Jesus. Father, we are a people, Lord, who hunger for you, who want you, Lord. Father, we don't want our own things, our own selfish ambitions and desires, Lord. We desire you, and we are seeking you, Lord. And I pray, Father, that this morning you will give us a heart after your own heart, like David said. David was a man after your own heart, Lord. Let us have a heart after your own heart. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, has everybody got their Psalm 61 open in front of them? If you don't have it in front of you, you can peek in with a friend. Okay, it goes like this. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. And then we're going to read Psalm 42, verse 1 and 2. As the deer pants for water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? Now, I don't know if you've ever felt that way before, the way that is the psalmist is writing here. O God, you are my God, early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you, my flesh longs for you. In a dry and thirsty land. This is someone who's talking about a longing and a thirst. And as he writes this, you can see in his mind and in his heart, there's nothing else that he's longing for, that he wants at that very moment, but God. He's not thinking about a hamburger. He's not thinking about a choppy or a boerewors. He's not thinking about watching a movie. He's not thinking about playing golf. He's not thinking about surfing. He's thinking about one thing, and that is God. And he's got such a hunger and a desire for God that everything else is out of his mind. He's thirsting for God. He's longing for God. And Psalm 42 goes, as the deer pants for the water brooks. This is a deer that's been walking for days with no water. It pants for the water brooks. It's reminded of the water brooks. It's drunk from it before. So my soul pants for God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. And again, at that very moment, there's no desire for anything else, because the thirst and the hunger is greater than any other desire at that very moment. This is someone who hungers for God. His desire is for God. Then if we go to Isaiah 64 verse 7. I love this verse. I think this is so powerful. It is such an amazing verse, and it's something that we need to remind ourselves of. It's something we need to try and dig into. That's why when we read these previous two scriptures, it's something we often read the word, but we don't identify. Have you ever identified with David when he wrote Psalm 61? I think it's David. Have you ever identified with that longing, with that thirst? What does it mean? If you read Isaiah 64, verse 7, it says, "And there is no one who calls on your name," God's name, "who stirs up himself up to take hold of you." David was someone who stirred himself up. What does that mean? It's someone who's got that hunger and desire for God, and he's taking action to take hold of God. These are people who hunger for God. Now the question is, do you hunger for God? I just want you to think about that now for a moment. Do you hunger for God? Do I hunger for God? Do we hunger for God? Just meditate on that for a little while. Now, we are all have a built-in hunger in us. We are all designed, and we all came out as a model with a hunger inside of us. And we will seek anything to fill that hunger. And before we knew God, we sought other ways to fill the hunger in us and the desire and the thirst in us, because we are made to hunger and thirst and desire. And there's a fork and there's two paths we can go. The one path is a hunger for God, and the other path is a hunger to fulfill my own flesh, my own desires. There's only two ways to go. There's no in-betweener. Either we hunger for God, or we hunger to fill our own bellies. And we have the choice. This is actually something that we have a choice over, because there is a hunger in us, but we have the choice to direct the hunger. We can direct it to our own bellies, to our own desires, to our own selfishness, and or we can direct it to God. So, do you hunger for God? If you do hunger for God, this will describe you. I've got about 10 points, something like that, that describes the one who hungers for God. Now, I'm talking about this today because I believe we've only got one choice, and that choice is to hunger for God. Because the hunger for God will lead to life. Because we will be fed by God. And if we choose the other route, where we will try and satisfy ourselves with our own ways, we will starve. Because the other ways cannot fulfill the hunger inside. Only God can fulfill the hunger inside. So these are all pointers. This is all something to think about. This is something to take hold of so that the truth may set us free. Because one thing we need to remember, we are living in a world that is deceiving. If you watch TV, you will realize very quickly, very easily, it's very deceptive. Messages are being thrown at us, being told us how to live, what to do. You'll only be happy if you drive a brand new car. You'll only be happy if you go on this holiday. You will only be happy if you take out a loan to buy this and this and this and that. That's deception. Sex will satisfy you. That is a deception that is there, that comes from the world. And unless we dig in and take hold of the truth, we will go with the flow. Therefore, it's important. That's why I'm asking, do we have this here today? Do we take this as our most important source of information and knowledge? That's why I have got many, many, many scriptures up here. And the plain reason is because I believe there's only one truth in the whole world, and that's this, the Bible. And if it's not in here, it's not, if it doesn't come out of here, it comes out of the opposite camp, which will deceive us. So in order to not be deceived, we need to get the truth in us. We need to constantly live off the truth. Okay, so here's a bit of truth. Those who hunger for God are obedient to God and His Word. And you can put that up. Those who hunger for God are obedient to God and His Word. Matthew 7, verse 21 says, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven." There's a difference between knowing God or knowing about Him and actually serving Him. Is it good enough to know Him, good enough to know of Him, but not serve Him? Well, this is the answer. No. It's not good enough just to know Him, but not serve Him. Saying, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father." Those who hunger for God will do the will of the Father. 1 John 5 verse 3 says, "For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not burdensome." Again, if we love God, if we hunger for Him, we will keep His commands. We will do what He says. Then John 14, 21, 23 says, "He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him." And then 23, Jesus answered and said to him, "If anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him." So he who hungers for God is obedient to God and His word. Another one is, who hungers for God are willing to suffer for Him. We don't like to hear that because we don't like suffering. And there are different levels of life that we live. We here in Namibia and Swakopmund, we are living a very, very high standard of living. If we would have to live like the average person in Asia, say India or China, their average standard of living would be suffering for us. I.e., we are not used to suffering. Anything that takes us out of our comfort zone feels like suffering. Again, if we had lived the normal standard of living in China or in India, it would feel like suffering to us, because we're not used to it. So we need, that says something about how our attitude or what we're used to. It says it presents a challenge for us to serve God, because we are used to the good life. Those who hunger for God are willing to suffer for Him. That's why it's very easy for the average Chinese Christian to serve God, because he's used to not having all good discomfort the whole time. He's used to fasting, praying, getting on his knees, spending a lot of time in the Word with God. He's used to sharing. Where are we now? Willing to suffer. Now, 1 Peter 4, verse 1 to 2. "Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves." This is a very good scripture. It's Peter. Now, Peter was Peter died by being crucified upside down. Because by the time they took him to the cross, he says, "I don't want to be crucified the same way that my Lord Jesus Christ was crucified, because I am not worthy. Please let me be crucified upside down. I cannot have the honor of being crucified the same way as Christ." Now, this is Peter. This is how he died at the end. And he was looking forward to the cross. He was willing to suffer for Christ. He was willing to suffer for Jesus because it was more important to him than anything else. So 1 Peter, just gives you a bit of background of the kind of person Peter was. Now, when he wrote this, 1 Peter verse 4, chapter 4, verse 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mind. Arm yourself with the same mind. I.e., what does it mean to suffer for Christ? And, you know, can I get my mind into that way that I think the same way? I'm willing to suffer for Christ. For he who has suffered in the flesh has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life, his time in the flesh for the lusts of men, but for the will of God. Again, hungering for God, or do you hunger for your own feel good? What makes me feel good? Do you hear what I'm saying? So God is saying, arm yourself with the same mind. Now Matthew 5 verse 10 to 12. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when you revile and persecute, when they revile and persecute you and say all kinds of evil things against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceedingly glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. And then we have Paul speaking in Acts. But none of these things move me, nor do I count my life dear to myself, so that I may finish my race with joy and the ministry which I received from the Lord Jesus to testify to the gospel of the grace of God. This is very uncomfortable to hear this message of suffering, of giving up my comfort. It's all it is actually. It's a choice to give up of my comfort. Okay, the next one is, those who hunger for God are willing to go through trials and tribulations. You know, that somebody said it's a very dangerous prayer to pray is to say, Lord, refine me so that I may be closer to you, so that I may hear your voice, so that I may serve you, so that I may be clean. Lord, prune me so that I may be more fruitful. So it's a very dangerous prayer to pray. It's very good to be refined, as we know, because then we end up being pure. It's very good to be pruned, because then we are more fruitful. So the end result is good. But, you know, people have said it's dangerous if you pray that, because God will do it. If you ask him to refine you, he will refine you, because you're willing. And if you ask him to prune you, he will prune you. And it's to be refined is not comfortable, because you're going through fire. To be pruned is not comfortable because your bits are being cut off. But those who hunger for God are willing to be refined, willing to be pruned, because they will end up with God in their hearts, in their minds, in their lives. And we've got Acts 14 to 22. And when they had preached the gospel to the city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, we must, through many trials, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of heaven, enter the kingdom of God. So it's not easy to enter the kingdom of God. It's not easy to take hold of God. It doesn't fall on your lap. I think that's the important thing that we're trying to see here is, if first of all, the first step one is, do you hunger for God? Yes, I hunger for God. So how do you go about hungering and getting hold of God? He doesn't just fall on your lap. It takes effort from our side. It takes sacrifice. It takes laying down my own comforts. It takes not going surfing the whole day, but spending time with God, spending time with other people. And then James 1 verse 2 to 4. This is also very, it's a beautiful scripture. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. So what is he saying? He's saying trials, if you embrace trials and say, I'll have joy in this trial, the end result is perfect, complete, lacking nothing. It's like the contrasts. It's the sort of what you put in is what you get out. It's the sacrificing and then you get. It's the sowing and then you're reaping. The opposite of that is what? Opposite of that is the sugar-coated poison. And these are the two choices we are often confronted with. Am I going to first take the sort of, count the cost, first going to put in the effort, first going to do the sacrifice because I know the end result will be glorious? Or am I going to lick on the sugar-coated poison because it seems nicer? When you're driving and somebody just drives and cuts in front of you, first your reaction will be, hey, you there, bless you. Or will the reaction be, beep, beep? The beep, beep reaction is the sugar-coated poison because you think you're going to feel better to, yeah, I'm going to tell this person right, sugar-coated poison because it feels, it's in front of you, you want to taste that sugar, but the end result will be not good. Okay. Are willing to be pruned and refined. I wish you spoke about that now, but the scripture is John 15, verse 2. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And the refining is Malachi 3, verse 3. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer to the Lord an offering in righteousness. And Psalm 119:71, it says, it is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. Now, this is more also being said, not, you don't have to sit in a situation now and thinking, okay, it's actually going well with me and everything is hunky-dory, everything is smooth and, money is coming in and I can pay my bills and everything is good. So, Lord, must I pray now that I'm afflicted? No, it's not about that. God blesses us as well. If we are obedient to God, the end result of righteousness is blessing. It's good. But there will be times, as everybody knows, it's not always hunky-dory. There will be times when we get into tough times. If it's not now, it might be down in the future. It might be long, it might be short. But that's why it's important to know these words, these scriptures. And that's where this scripture comes out. And it's actually also a beautiful scripture. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I may learn your statutes. So that when the time comes, if you're in a good place right now, down the line, something might happen, you might lose your job, whatever, then you meditate on the scripture. Lord, I know that you're in control, and if this is an affliction I'm going through, but I know that this draws me closer to you, the end result is that I may learn your statutes and I'm drawn closer to you. There's a willingness. Because whether you hunger for God and are willing to go through trials and tribulations or not, you will still end up going through the same thing. You can go through the same trials and tribulations, despising God and saying, why am I going through this? Or you can go through and saying, Lord, I realize that you are in control in my trials and tribulations. And I hunger for you. And in this time of tribulation, I hunger for you. I want to see you. And I want to take hold of you. And I want to serve you. There's two totally different outcomes, right? Totally different. And you can end up going through trials and tribulations with peace in your heart, with joy in your heart, the joy of knowing that God is going to take me through. Those who hunger for God are willing to serve others. And Jesus himself said, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many." Now we must remember also the better it is with you, the better or the more comfort one is in at the very moment, the more selfish one becomes, unfortunately. So one challenge that we need to know of is that we will be selfish because we have much, and the result of being in a comfortable position is you become more selfish. And why is that? The reason is because you like your comfortable situation. You don't want to give it up. And the more comfortable you are, the more you will grab hold of it. And then it will be difficult to serve others. It will be difficult to give up your nice Sunday afternoon lunch braai with your best, closest friends and family to maybe serve someone else, to go and serve those who are poor, who need. But Jesus said himself, he didn't come to be served. He came to serve. He gave his life. Those who hunger for God are willing to serve. And that's something that we need to ask ourselves. Am I serving? How can I serve? And it's something to pray about. God, help me to serve. Because Jesus, you served. Help me to do the same. Those who hunger are willing to love others. Now, did you realize that love is not a feeling? Did you realize that love doesn't come naturally? Love isn't, I'm a lovable person. Did you know that love is a choice? Did you know that if somebody offends you, hurts you, that it is a choice to be offended or to love the person? Love is a choice. Did you know that if somebody comes up and wants money from you and they smell bad, they're drunk, you can either just say, "Look, get away from me, you're drunk and you smell bad." But that's not love. The choice is yours to love the person. Matthew, the whole idea around Arundus, the outreach, well, we call it an outreach, but it's more relationship with Hope's Promise. The whole point around it is love-based. It's not to say Shofar is doing outreach, because then we miss it. It's very easy to do outreach without love. Because I feel better. I'm ticking a box and others can see what I'm doing. Look how great I am. That's not love. Love is a choice. And the whole Arundus is the love for the people. Matthew 25 verse 31 to 40 goes, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory." Now, when the Son of Man comes in his glory, the Son of Man will come in his glory. That's what it says. "And all the holy angels with him." You can imagine that sight. The Son of Man coming in all his glory. Jesus coming in all his glory. And all the holy angels with him. Now, all the holy angels is billions and gazillions of holy angels. You know, there are so many of them. "Then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him. And he will separate them one from another as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. And he will set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom before prepared for you from the foundation of the world.'" For I was hungry and you gave me food. I was thirsty and you gave me drink. I was a stranger and you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Now, the next bit is the clue as to why this was love-based, what they did. And God looked straight at the heart. He saw that these guys were true, sincere love people. And they did it out of love. And I'll tell you, I will read it and you can think about what's the clue that it was out of love. Then the righteous will answer him, saying, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? When did we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these, my brethren, you did it to me. So what's the clue telling you that they did it out of love? The clue is they didn't even know they were blessing Jesus. Those who do it out of selfish ambition would have told Jesus how much they did for him. They didn't tell Jesus. They said, Jesus, when did we do it? We were just ourselves. We just loved the person and gave them something to drink. We just loved the person and took them in. Those who hunger for God, for his purposes, for God instead of our own purposes, are willing to love others. And it's a choice again. Love is a choice. But the more we do it, it becomes a habit. Once it's a habit, it comes natural, it comes easy. And then we end up with the sheep that Jesus is pleased with. Those who hunger for God, now these, the previous points were all points that take effort from us. Okay? What is the result of hungering for God? And I'm going to read a few, couple pointers. Those who hunger for God have their prayers answered. If you do not hunger for God, you know, you can't really expect your prayers to be answered. Yeah? If you hunger for God, your prayers will be answered. If you hunger for God, you are blessed. If you hunger for God, you are filled. If you hunger for God, you are satisfied. If you hunger for God, you will receive wisdom, knowledge, and joy. If you hunger for God, you will see God. Those who hunger for God have their prayers answered. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your own pleasures. But those who ask according to God's will receive. 1 Peter 3 verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and his ears are open to their prayers. Those who hunger for God are blessed. Proverbs 8 verse 32, now therefore listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. If you hunger for God, you will keep his ways and you will be blessed. Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You hunger and thirst for righteousness, you're hungering for God. You will be filled. John 4 verse 13 to 14, Jesus answered and said to her, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again. It's the woman at the well. Jesus said, whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life. Those who hunger for God are satisfied and will be satisfied. Those who hunger for God will receive wisdom, knowledge, and joy. Ecclesiastes 2 verse 26, for God gives wisdom and knowledge and joy to a man who is good in his sight. Those who hunger for God will see God. Matthew 5 verse 8, blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And then the next scripture is Job 42, 1 to 6. And this is also a very powerful scripture. It's a mind-blowing scripture. It says so much about priority. It says so much about what life is about. what God is about. Job went through a lot of trials and tribulations and suffering. If you know the story of Job, and I assume most of you know the story of Job, Job lost everything. He lost his family, he lost his wealth, his business, everything. He was sick, he lost his health. He almost died because of his sicknesses and everything on him. And God allowed the enemy to torment him because he knew he would never forsake him. And what was the end result? What came out of all this struggling, suffering, all of this? And this is the key. Job said, I know that you can do everything, saying to God, and that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore, I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me, which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. And this is now the powerful bit. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear. This is Job. Before all this happened, I had heard of you. People have told me about you. I knew a lot about you. But now my eye sees you. And that's it. The end result of all that was, I see you, and it is worth it. Job was basically saying all the suffering and everything was worth it because now I see you. So the question is still there. Do you hunger for God? Or do you desire to hunger for God? Do you realize that you don't have that hunger when we read Psalm 61, 63. It's actually 63, eh? Psalm 63. Psalm 63, verse 1. When you read that psalm, when we read that psalm together, you felt like you didn't identify with that, with David, with that hunger for God. So the two questions, do you hunger for God? And the other question is, do you desire to hunger for God? And if the answer is yes, would you stand so that we can pray? There's no pressure. Nobody has to stand. You can also always just go home and think about it and ask God to sort out your heart. But it's very important to take action. And saying with action, Lord, I hunger for you and I desire more of you. And help me to serve others. Help me to, Lord, I don't understand how suffering can be good, but Lord, if it's your will, help me to at least get to that point so that when suffering comes, that I know it's you are in control. And Lord, I pray for that hunger for you because I realize that if I don't hunger for you, if I don't satisfy my hunger with you, I will try and satisfy it with something else. And I will miss the point. I will lose the point. Lord, I want to thank you for everybody here this morning. I pray, Father, that our hearts will be changed. Pray that by your Holy Spirit you will touch us. And Lord, I pray that you'll pour out your Holy Spirit into us, Lord. Father, so that all these things we spoke about now, Lord, so that all these things that Paul and Jesus and David and they all speak about, Lord, they speak about it as if it is just so normal to them. Father, I pray that you'll pour out your Holy Spirit into us, into our hearts, every person standing here today, Lord, and that we will understand, Father, that we will not just understand, but that we will have a revelation and insight, Lord, that will transform our lives, Lord. Lord, that our minds will be transformed by the renewing of our minds, Lord. Transform our hearts, transform our minds, Lord. Pray, Father, that you will fill us, Lord, with your Holy Spirit, but most of all, Lord, with such a hunger and a desire and a love for you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will fill us with a love for you. Lord, that we will seek you, that we will desire you, and that we will forsake all other things that are distracting and keeping us from you, Lord, for the sake of taking hold of you. for the sake of hungering and grabbing hold of you, Lord. Like David said, Lord, David was a man after your own heart, Lord. And I pray, Father, for that absolute desire in us, Lord, in each person that is here today, Lord, that desire, Lord, that heart after your own heart, in Jesus' name. Father, and I pray that this week, Lord, that you will just speak, that, Father, that you will touch us, Lord, that we will be changed, Father, that when we see other people, Lord, that we will love them, Lord. I pray, Lord God, that you will encourage us by the change you've made in our hearts, Lord, that we will say, wow, I didn't even realize that this is in my heart, but Lord, it is you that place it in our heart, Lord. I pray that you will place a compassion and a love in our hearts, Lord. And Father, that you will put a hunger and a love for you in our hearts, Lord. I pray that for every person here today, every person standing. And Lord, I pray that you'll bless everyone here, Lord. I pray that you'll bless us, Lord, that you will increase, Lord, just our knowledge of you, Lord. Be blessed in Jesus' name. If anybody wants prayer, you're welcome to come forward. Any questions, you're welcome to come forward, and we can pray for you. Be blessed and have a blessed week. Amen.